The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, I remember in elementary school, I was fascinated in science class by this crazy-looking sea creature called an anemone. I first had to learn how to pronounce it. Anemone.
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 Anemone. Ask Abby. I still can't pronounce it right. All right. So how can this creature exist? My six-year-old brain kept wondering. It had these crazy rubber-like antennas that float in the current, and then it would sting its other fish for its prey, except for this interesting-looking fish called the clownfish. I can pronounce that. The clownfish and the what, Abbo? That, as I learned from our science teacher, had what one, a scientist, would call a mutualistic relationship. The clownfish grows this special mucus that allows it to become immune to the stings of these tentacles and actually lives in this creature, keeping it clean and even at times helping lead other fish to it for its prey. And then, in turn, the anemone, in turn, provides safety from the otherwise vulnerable clownfish, gives the fish a good food source by cleaning its tentacles, and it becomes a great place for the fish to lay its eggs and reproduce. This mutualistic relationship, or symbiosis, as it's also called, are incredibly common throughout the natural world, relationships that benefit both parties are what one scientific website that I saw this week said as a crossroads of life. Nature is full of crossroads of life, where two things come together to deepen and to create life. And perhaps seeing this baptismal gospel text reading this second week in a row for some of you can open you up and see it as a crossroads of life a little bit this week. I know that it has opened this text up for me. John would have prevented Jesus saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. The water here is importantly becomes a vehicle for two things to intersect: God and humanity. And it is in a huge way a crossroads of life. For Lutherans, this is a great way, I think, to understand our sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. And for many of us, at least for me, even though we can pronounce the word sacrament, all right, it, I think, becomes a word that maybe you hear at like a young age, but you don't really kind of understand what it means fully. It's kind of like maybe photosynthesis or something like that. It doesn't really kind of come together. And for Luther, I think he tried to clarify in his life what a sacrament means. So he writes, a sacrament is a sacred act of divine institution. Or in other words, where God acts and exists in a certain way that we can understand. Let me say that again. Where God can act and exist in a certain way that we understand. Sacramentum in Latin means solemn promise, or where God promises to show up. Luther's famous saying is that God shows up in, with, and under the bread and the wine of Holy Communion and the holy water of baptism. Thus, the very basic nature, fundamental nature of a sacrament is simply a crossroads, a time when both humanity and the divine show up. This is, I think, a great question to ponder, perhaps. Where are the crossroads in your life? Where do you and the divine show up together? What is the sacramentum for you personally? I think the church, through the centuries, has closed off a little bit the nature of what a sacrament is in some ways. Sacrament is kind of only defined throughout history as one of these two things, if you are Lutheran, baptism or communion, or one of these seven things, if you come from a Roman Catholic background. But I want to come to the defense a little bit of the historical church, because here, yes, these are sacraments because we as humanity cross the divine in a very specific and holy way. That's what the church is wrestling with. We know and we understand God showing up in certain ways within Holy Communion and within baptism. The Greek Orthodox Church speaks of sacraments using this same baptism story, except from the book of Mark. We're reading from the book of Matthew, but from the book of Mark, which says as Jesus is rising from the water that the heavens were schismenous, or ripped. This is where we get the word schism from. Orthodox theologians use this word in defining the unique nature of baptism and Holy Communion by saying that these acts are specific rips in time and place where God promises to come and to meet us. I think that's so cool when we think of God ripping time and place to be with us in baptism. But here's the thing. There can, I think, be more rips in time and place as well. There are other crossroads where maybe you personally feel God shows up for you, perhaps. God doesn't just show up in the waters of baptism and say, well, see you at Holy Communion. That was fun. That would be ridiculous, right? God shows up in all of these kinds of different ways. And maybe then we need to broaden and even personalize sacramentum, solemn promise for ourselves. Yes, we as a church acknowledge the specific crossroads between us and the divine in baptism and Holy Communion, but are there other sacramentum moments for you? Some of my best childhood memories are from our family cabin that is located in northern Minnesota on, believe it or not, a lake called Woman Lake. And my grandma and grandpa built this cabin together in 1980. My grandpa died in 1992, and so my grandmother was forced to make decisions at this time about downsizing. I know many of you have faced these similar decisions in your lives recently, some of you. Well, she moved out of her longtime home in Edina and cleaned up and cleaned out many things, but never was tempted to sell the cabin because it was a place where she still felt she met the divine and my grandfather in a very special way. Growing up mostly with my grandma, who's still living, I would always remember her referring to her dock time, the dock that stretched out over the lake. And we would sit on this dock, on this bench bolted to this dock, for hours upon hours together. I remember, whether it be a conversation or watching a storm coming across the lake, or witnessing the wind coming up with the big waves crashing on the shore, it was a crossroads for my grandma, and still continues to be. And she is pretty faithful to church in our home town in St. Louis Park, just outside of Minneapolis. And she moved to Northfield about 10 years ago and continues to be faithful to a Lutheran church in Northfield. But during stressful times, she would always say, "You know, I gotta go sit on my dock." Sometimes she needed that particular crossroads with the divine instead. As we think about our own personal crossroads with God, let us finally not forget, as people of faith, our calling to also create sacramentum moments for others. I think this is part of the Christian call. How cool is it that we as Christians are called to bring sacramentum moments for others in our community? Could this water well create a sacramentum moment between the community in Cambodia and the divine? All of the wells that ELCA World Hunger helps to build are mostly agricultural wells that help farmers water their crops and give livelihoods to their families. Most farmers in Cambodia have 2 acres of land or less. 75% of Cambodia's crops have been devoted to rice. But interestingly enough, the government has been pushing for greater diversity in farming for food security reasons for the past couple of years. Thus, many of these farmers are in the midst of changing their crops to something else other than rice. A real crossroads and a risk for themselves and their communities. So a water well for many of these communities is the lifeline that helps them show up in this multi-layered crossroad. This, in my opinion, just isn't a governmental economic changeover to crops. It's also a sacramentum moment for us. We, as a church, get to help this community show up at a crossroads of life. We get to help them meet up with the divine. Think how special that is. Think of what a gift that is. Think of what a calling that is to all of us. And so, may you this week be blessed with sacramentum moments. And may you be able to witness being at a crossroads of life and bring others into that crossroads in love and in grace. Amen. Let us now sing hymn 738. Is that right, Rogine? Healer of our every ill.